Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that are come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys, of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozra, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay, and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we come to a chapter here that is pretty much monolithic this time. Normally, or in many of the chapters that we've read, we have a chapter about the Lord's blessing and a chapter about the Lord's cursing, as we saw in chapter 33 this morning. But now we come here to chapter 34, and what do we find? Well, this is a chapter about the Lord's slaughter and desolation of his enemies and the enemies of his people. It's a chapter that speaks to the Lord's judgments. So, come near ye nations to hear, hearken ye people, let the earth hear and all that is therein, all things that come forth of it, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, delivered them to the slaughter. Imagine how this might have comforted the people of God who were looking at the world around them, and they were seeing the Assyrian rapidly moving and no one able to stand in his presence, no one able to stand before him and to halt his progress against the rest of the world. I mean, it's difficult, you know. We think of Babylon as the world power that really conquered everything, and then after that we think of the Persians that conquered them, and then after that we think of, you know, the Grecians that came up and conquered them, and so on. We think of those successive kingdoms of the ancient world, but in the days of the Assyrian, if you read any of the histories, you could look at Old Testament history and so on. You know, people of that day were saying, who is able to stand before this mighty army? Well, the Assyrian had such a success because the Lord had stirred him up. He was that arm of the Lord that was bringing the indignation of the Lord upon all other nations of that day. I mean, he went all the way to Egypt. Remember how far Assyria was to the east. Past the, you know, over, not quite to the river Euphrates, past Syria, not quite to Babylon, right? And then here they come, and they move across the face of the earth, and they are a conquering force from the north. They even make their excursus south into Judah, and they're turned back by the Lord there in the days of Hezekiah. But that was the only place that they had ever been turned back. No one else was able to stand before them. And so they went until they spent themselves, and then the Lord brought another conqueror upon them after he had accomplished his purposes with them. I guess the point of chapter 34 in this monolithic understanding of the Lord's judgments upon all nations is that there is no nation that escapes the judging eye of the Lord. Like we said earlier in the reading in the book of Revelation, that when you have any nation, any established nation, its duty is to kiss the sun. Its duty is to rule as those who will be ruled, judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they fail to do so, then they run at cross purposes with him, and he is the one that will bring his judgments in due time after he has exhausted all usefulness that he would have for his own glory upon those wicked kingdoms. So, Edom and Bozrah fall. Bozrah is a chief city in Edom. It was thought of as a stronghold because of its geographical position. It was a mountain region that people couldn't enter into. There's a mountain region over in Afghanistan today. What do we call it? We call it the graveyard of armies, don't we? Why do we call it that? Because the topography is so difficult, and they are secure. They hide out in caves and in valleys. They can't be found. They can't be bested. They can't be conquered. But notice, Edom and Bozrah both shall be taken, because they're not fighting against human beings. They're fighting against the Lord our God. So the Lord takes up an active part then in this. It is his sword that is dipped in blood. It shall come down upon his enemies. There shall be blood and fat laying all over the land. The ground shall be nourished with it. Well, these are stark prophetic images of the slaughter that the Lord will bring on those who will not call upon his name. The permanence of that destruction that is had in the second half of the chapter, beginning in verse 9, the streams thereof shall be turned to pitch, the dust into brimstone. The land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall be waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. The cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl and the raven shall dwell in it. And so on. Now keep in mind, we're talking about symbols here. We're not talking about a literalism. If the land was smoking and burning pitch, why would cormorants, owls, and ravens want to dwell there? Okay, so this is prophetic language to show us something, that it will be a land that is forever under judgment. Forever under judgment. That the Lord will not, indeed, take up that place again. And those nations that inhabited it, unless they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be forever under judgment. There is only one way out from under the judgment, and that is to turn to the Lord with weeping and sackcloth and with repentance and seeking his forgiveness. And there's no other way. It won't be done by by geography. It won't be done by armies. It won't be done by military might. And it certainly, listen, U.S. of A., it will certainly not be done through economic might. May I say that the Lord has made the economic might of the United States of America a joke. We are $20+ trillion in debt. I think it's time for us to stop speaking about economic might. Don't you? The Lord is able to bring down any nation that will not call upon His name. So generation after generation, it will be a place for the beasts of the field to dwell in. Well, so chapter 34 then speaks about the eternal judgment of the Lord upon those who will not call upon His name, who will not repent, and who will not bow the knee to Him. Well, what's the remedy then? Obviously, we must bow the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 34.